And if you feel like it, if you don't, just stay seated. If you feel like it, stand and let's sing together number 399.
Oh, Good singing. Wow. So you were the special number tonight. All right. Those on the internet, that was the Race Street Baptist Choir, church choir singing there tonight. to you. It is well with my soul. And it seemed like everybody was in agreement with the words of the song. It is well with my soul. It's well with my soul, I tell you that. Because it's all wrapped up in what my Savior Jesus Christ did for me. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, if you were here at the breakfast yesterday, you heard the preacher preach on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Guess what? I'm preaching on the same verses. All right? So you're going to get the same thing you got yesterday morning from Pastor Dave Smith, pastor of the Community Baptist Church in Quakertown. He was with us for our all-church breakfast. And, you know, one of the things he said, which a lot of special speakers say, what good singing that we have here at Race Street Baptist Church. He says, I like to come here just to, if nothing else, just to have to hear the singing. And on his way out, he said, I'd like you all to come on down to our church and show us how to sing. Something along that line. We did that before, remember? How many went to that last time we did that? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. Maybe one of these Sunday nights we'll have to do that. We'll just close up church and go on down there and meet together with them. And just have a good old-fashioned song time with the folks down there at Community Baptist Church in Quakertown. All right. I'm not afraid to do that, okay? I'm not afraid to do that. You know, yeah. You might say, well, what about the church here? Well, okay, you know, well, we're here 52 times a year. People can find their way here, I'm sure, some of those other times. All right, but it's just a real blessing to fellowship with others, and to hear them also say of you that you guys like to sing. That's a real compliment, a good spiritual compliment. And I hope it's because of what's happened in your heart that you sing like that. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of people here, but I'm going to tell you what, we probably sing just as good and as loud as some churches with 100 or 500 people in it who really don't have much in their heart to sing about. But we got a lot in our heart to sing about. Our Lord and Savior, such a wonderful Savior. Okay, well, Hebrews chapter 12. After having given a report of all the Old Testament saints who by faith just took God at His word, and no matter what happened to them, they just took God at His word. And they were taking God at His word about things which they could not see or handle with their hands. Things that were still like out in the future. Many of those things would happen after they died. And yet they lived their whole lives out in faith, believing that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And so in chapter 12, he's working off of what is in chapter 11 to exhort us, the readers of the book of Hebrews, to have faith just like they did in the Old Testament. So faith is exhorted here by the writer of the book of Hebrews to you and I who are reading it. Now, this book is called Hebrews because it was written primarily for the early Christian Jews to encourage them to go on in the faith, even though they were under great persecution, to go back to the temple worship, go back to the law works, go back to the sacrifices of the temple. They are being exhorted in Hebrews, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's better than all that. In fact, all of that in the Old Testament was simply looking forward to what Christ would do. And they were like pictures and symbols and typology of what Jesus Christ would do. So keep your eyes on the Lord and keep following after Him. Don't turn back. Some were in jeopardy of doing that. Some had not fully yet trusted in Jesus Christ as their, as we would say, their personal Savior yet. They were impressed with him. They heard the message about him. But as of yet, they had not by faith gone through, some of the readers of the book of Hebrews. They were in real jeopardy of turning back and going back to the old way. Let me just ask you, you who know the Lord as your personal Savior and got saved, many of you, for many years before you were saved, attended church services where they never exhorted you to become born again or saved. They didn't teach you that you have sins and these sins are what Jesus Christ came to die for. And for years you would have sat, what if you were still sitting there? You'd still be lost. Oh, you'd be religious, but lost. But those of you who have trusted Christ as Savior, let me ask, would you want to go back to that kind of church? Would you want to go back and sit there and be under that ministry again? I would hope you'd say no, not because we're just trying to be nasty or anything, but just because the truth is, you would have gone to hell. As far as they were concerned. But now you're saved and going to heaven through faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us at the cross. So much better than the old way that the Jews were doing under the Old Testament way. And so, in chapter 12, faith is exhorted. These Hebrew readers are exhorted by the Old Testament testimonies of faith to run in the race of faith, as our brother, Pastor Dave Smith, told us about that race yesterday. But let's look at it. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let me just say before I go back to verse 1 there, that last phrase, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Well, I know someone who did, and that's my Savior, Jesus Christ. He resisted all the way unto the cross and shed his blood, striving against not his sin, my sin. And I'm being called upon to follow in his footsteps. That's probably good that we sang that song, Stepping in the Light. Stepping in the light of the steps of my Savior. That's what we're being encouraged to do here. But back there to verse 1. Because of the witnesses that we see in verse 11, we're encouraged to go on in this race of faith. It's not necessary to interpret this when it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it's not necessary to interpret this to mean that saints in heaven watch everything we do. Okay? I get a lot of people asking me the question, do you think that the saints up in heaven can see what we're doing down here on earth? I will say I don't know the answer dogmatically, but I don't know that I have any scripture that says it as clear as a bell, that yes, they do see what you're doing. I want you to know that I have a grandmother who I love dearly, who's already up there in heaven and been up there in heaven all the while I was a young person and growing up as a young person, as a Christian young person. And very often when I, as a Christian, when I wasn't doing the things that were pleasing to the Lord, and oh, can Christians do that, by the way? Do Christians sometimes do things that aren't pleasing to the Lord? Let me ask you this. Do Christians sometimes sin? Yeah. You know what always bothered me? I wonder if Grandma can see me. I wonder if she can see what I'm doing. It kind of scares me a little bit to think about it. I sure hope that the Lord doesn't let her see me doing the things. But I really don't have any scripture that says that they do watch from heaven to see what's going on down here now, right now. Because I don't believe this is talking of that. I believe it's referring to the witnesses of the chapter 11 there, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are they? These Old Testament saints who by faith took God at his word no matter what. We're to look at them as witnesses of the great faith that they had in the word of God. And you and I need to have the same kind of faith like that. I think it's the record of their faith that compasses us about. And then what does it say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And our brother yesterday, of course, really took this thing apart, talking about the race that we're in. And he had 6 points there of all the things that we have to do in order to run this race successfully. I want to, all the while I was sitting there listening to him, I wanted to jump up and interrupt him a little bit and tell him some things about a race, running a race. And let me just tell you my own experience in running a race. In high school, I was on the track team. Of all the sports I did, basketball was my favorite, but I also enjoyed running, and I joined the track team, and my specialty was the half-mile race. And back then, in the pre-meter days, it was called the 880. 880 yards, I guess, 880 yards. And you had to run twice around the track. Most of you, if you've been to a football game and these schools have a track around it, you'd have to run around that thing 2 times as fast as you can and get the best time that you could get. Well, I'll tell you what, there were a lot of things that would lead up to actually running the race. You had to go through training and so forth in order to get ready. You had to learn how to run a race. In an 880, you can't start out as fast as you can. You're going to die by the time you get to the end of that race. You're just going to flat out fall down dead, just about. You got to pace yourself. You got to run with patience, like it says here. See that? You got to run with patience. Whoever wrote this knew about athletics and about running a race. They knew what it took. And just so that you know that I do know what I'm talking about in running a race, I had the best time in our school running the half mile. It's a half mile. And we also did what is called a 2 mile relay, where each one does a half mile running around. And our school, it was Stroudsburg High School. We went to districts and we placed so that we could go to states, the state meet. And we went out to the state meet at Penn State University. What a privilege that was to be able to go to Penn State University and run on their beautiful track. I never ran on a track like that before. It was made of like asphalt, which was rubbery, like a rubber. And I never felt so light and able to run as fast as I could on a track like that. Well, as it was, there were a whole bunch of teams running the 2 mile relay. And the first heat of six teams ran their race. And all 6 of them had good times. We were in the second heat of 6 teams. And when we were done with that race, the team that was behind us was a half lap behind us. That's how far ahead we were. And I was the anchor guy, the last guy. And I gave it all that I could. And when we were done, I looked back. I couldn't believe how far ahead we were of the second place team in our heat. Well, as it turned out, all the teams in the first heat had a better time than we did. So we were in 7th place in the state. So of all the schools in the state of Pennsylvania, we were number 7. I kind of think that if we had been able to been in that first heat, we might have been able to do a little bit better. Now, that's a little bit of my pride coming out, all right, on that. I don't really know if that's true or not, but I kind of think that if we had someone pushing us, that maybe we could have done a better time. Because, I mean, we beat the other team by half a lap. We didn't really have anybody pushing us. And yet, all of us on the team had our best times ever. I had my best time ever in the half mile run. So just so that you know, kind of know what it's about to be running a race. And we are called upon by God to run a race in our lifetime, all of us. And it's going to be something you do your whole life until you die and go to be with the Lord. Sometimes I thought I was going to die coming over that goal, over the finish line, because I was giving it all I had, but I survived. And here I am today, and 40 years later, still okay. But I'll tell you one thing, I cannot run a half mile now. Can't run it now. Just to throw something in here, I know this isn't really a Bible message so much right now. I can remember even after graduating from high school and college, some of you know I worked at Air Products and Chemicals, and they had a track outside for the employees to use and run on. And I can tell you that I can remember day in and day out, because I would go out there at lunchtime every day. You can ask my wife if I'm lying or not, okay? I'd go out there every day and run 3 miles. Every day that I could, I'd run 3 miles. And I often remember as I'm running along, I'd talk to the Lord while I was running. And I'd say, Lord, I thank you that I can even do this. Thank you that I can do this. For there might come a day when I'll no longer be able to do this. And when the cancer was diagnosed and I was starting to go through treatments, that became a reality. I couldn't run anymore. I tell you what, every time I see a jogger, every time I see somebody running, I get jealous. I want to be able to do that myself. I wish that I could, but I can't. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm in the race of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's enabled me to keep on running. And 40 years we've been running here at Ray Street Baptist Church. And if he gives me grace to keep on going, I'll go as long as he wants. We'll just keep on running. And I hope you're running right alongside. Right alongside. Running this race of faith. What do you need to do in order to run it successfully? Let us lay aside every weight. You know what I would do to prepare myself for the season of track? I would, and I lived up in Stroudsburg, I would put weights around my ankles. And they were probably about 5 pounds. And then I would run as far as I could and come back to the house and take them off. And I would do that on purpose, knowing that when the day comes for the race, I'm going to run without those weights on. And I'm going to feel like I'm as light as a feather. And that's how it would work. And but you know what? In order to run the race, I couldn't run the race with those weights on. I would lose easily. But you take them off. Lay them aside. Christian, there are weights in our life, like the preacher said yesterday, like baggage. And you know, we got to put them off in order that we might run for the Lord Jesus Christ. The things of this world weigh us down. Our cares of this world will weigh you down. And I'll tell you what, the devil will bring something else upon you in order to keep you more occupied with that than the things of the Lord. And we got to lay aside the weight. And then it says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Once again, oh, do Christians sin? Yes, they do. When they sin, do they lose their salvation? No, they don't. What they do lose is fellowship with the Lord. And until we confess that sin, we're not going to have the joy of the Lord in our heart and the fellowship we need to have with him. And sometimes even with other believers as well. So I hope that makes sense to you. When a Christian sins, he does not need to get saved again. He doesn't need to be born again. You do that one time. And that's good for all eternity. But when a Christian sins, it does affect your fellowship with the Lord. And he can't fellowship with darkness. That's what 1 John chapter 1 teaches. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we might have fellowship with him again. How often as a child with your parents did you do things that did not please your parents? And for a while, your parents were upset with you. Okay. And if you came to them to ask them for something, they say, oh, no, buddy. No, you're not getting that now until you say you're sorry or until you change your ways. And when you do say, Mom and Dad, you know what? I am sorry. Then there's fellowship again. You never ceased to be their child because you were born in their family. That can never stop. You're always going to be their child. You're always going to be God's child by the new birth. But sometimes the father is upset with you because of sin in your life that you're not putting aside. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I thought of this as a preacher was preaching yesterday. It's just a tiny bit gross, all right? So for those of you who don't like that, turn your ears off. A tiny bit gross. When I was getting ready for a race, almost every time, I would get so upset in my stomach because I was nervous about the race. Because I was expected to win the race all the time because I was good. All right, I had a good time and I was expected. You know what would happen? I would get so nervous about this. I had to go over in the corner of the field, and you know what I had to do? I had to throw up. Okay, sorry, internet hearers. I couldn't keep my food down. That's what happened. But you know what? After I did that, I was ready to go. And you know, you have to put the weight that does so easily beset you and the sin. Maybe you could say that was kind of like sin in there. I had to get that out in order to run that race. And very often, that's how I would do it. And I was able to run the race, even though I had just done that over in the corner of the field. So then it says, and let us, which does so easily beset us. Oh, that does just that. It sets you off and you cannot run the race successfully when the weights are there and the sin is there. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's another aspect of running. You couldn't say when the gun would shoot and you'd start running, oh, I'm just going to tear out of here. No. Other guys would. Almost every time I'd run this race, other guys would be running way ahead of me. And I'm just watching the clock and I'm keeping my pace. And I have to, in my mind, say, I'm not going to try and catch them now. I'm just going to run my race the way that I know I need to run that. And you run all the way around one time. And you have to have a certain amount of seconds in that first lap. And then you run the halfway around the next lap. And when you get halfway around that next lap, that's when you make your move. And it depends on how far ahead the guys are ahead of you or how far ahead you are. And at that point is when you decide, all right, now I got to do it. And you just give it all you got to the finish line. And even then you have to kind of pace even that, but you have to increase the speed and start finding yourself catching up to the guys. And then you just give it it's called a kick. You got a kick at the end of that race. And when you do, if you do it right, you can win the race. We have to run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I've seen a lot of people run out of the gate real fast. And by the time they get one lap around, their Christian life is exhausted. And the weights are still there. And the sin which doth so easily beset them. And they're not patiently running the race. Maybe for for reputation's sake or because of the applause they get for just, you know, getting out there and running real hard, then they start failing and faltering, falling by the wayside, and they never reach the goal. You know what? Don't be like that. You need to be faithful, patient, serving the Lord. I like the song, Never Give Up. Never give up. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, but I'm not going very fast. You just patiently keep running the race. Doesn't matter how. As far as I was concerned, I never looked down upon anyone else running in that race. Even if I beat them, I didn't look down on them. If I saw them come over the finish line, I said to myself, well, there they ran the race. They finished the course. I've been in races where guys just stopped running and walked off the field. I didn't have any respect for them. And even if the guy came in many seconds after me, I have respect for them. They finished the race. But those who quit on the side, no, I didn't have any respect for that. That's quitting. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a race, and we're all in it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and we need to run that race that is set before us. There it is. And the goal is heaven. The goal is to reach heaven and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what really helped me in a race was just before the race, if I could look over in the stands and see my dad. If I could see my dad there, oh boy, that meant I better really do my best. And I'd run that race, and when I got done, I'd look over there to see if he was happy with what I did or not. That means a lot. And we're in a race for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loves you. And he's watching in the stands. He's already run the race, so he knows how it is. He's already done this. And he wants you to follow in his footsteps. And his eyes are on you. So run the race. Don't give up. Don't quit. Lay aside the weights and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience. It may take a while for God's will to be done in your life, but he'll get it accomplished. And one of these days, you're going to stand before him and give account for the race that you run. And you know what? I don't think it matters to him if you ran a race and failed. Get back in the race. Pick yourself up, get back in the race. There's been several examples of that in the Olympics where maybe somebody got tripped up and fell down. And it's always a good thing to see that person get back up and keep on running and finish the race. You know what else is neat to see too? Is if two of them fell and they both get up and one helps the other get to the finish line. They lost as far as any kind of getting on the podium or anything like that. But they finished the race. They finished the race. And so, Christian, we're all in that race together. If you fall down, get back up and keep on running. Maybe you can help someone else keep on going to get to the finish line as well. But we are in a race, and let's run that race. And these readers of the book now, in verse 2, and we'll finish up here with verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To me, that almost reminds me of the tape that they would put across the finish line for you to get to that tape and break through that tape. That's the finish line. That's the goal. All right? So you run around once, you get on that second lap, they put a string across, and you want to run around there and you want to be the first one to get to that string. That's the goal. Looking unto Jesus. You know what? If you're a runner and you're looking at your dad in the stands while you're running. Well, that's one thing I never did. I didn't look at my dad when I was running. I'd do that before, but not while I was running. You got to keep your eye on the goal, what you're going to do. And you keep your eye on that goal. Our goal is looking unto Jesus. And the word looking there in the Greek has this idea. Looking away from unto Jesus. Get your eyes off the people in the stands. Is everybody clapping? No, you can't be looking at that. You got to look away unto Jesus. And put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep them on Him. I want to learn all about Jesus Christ as I can. I want to know what kind of a man He was when He was here. I want to know what He did. I want to think and look into the cross and the importance of the cross. What all took place there on that cross? You know, looking under Jesus. I want to know, was it a satisfaction for God the Father up in heaven, what Jesus Christ did there? When Jesus hung on that cross, was He thinking about me? Yes, He was. He was dying for me on that cross. Here's something else. When He died on that cross, He didn't deserve to be on that cross. It wasn't His sin He was dying for, it was my sin. I want to learn all that I can about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to be doing the same thing. I want to know more, like that song, more about Jesus, what I know. More of His love to others show. I want to know more about Jesus. And as a preacher, that's my job, is to teach you and preach to you all about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then you need to study this book and learn all you can about Him. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Keep your eye on that goal, as it says there. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, we can talk about are being saved, we're going to heaven, and it's wonderful to be a Christian and everything. But you know something? Who's the author of this? Who's the finisher of this? Who started this? Who's finished it? Who completed it? Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to give all praise, all honor, all glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. All these witnesses in the Old Testament, they looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. We look back. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Next week, we'll look at who for the joy that was set before Him. But Christian, we're in this race. I don't know, where are you in the race? Are you still in it? Keep on, keep on, don't stop. If you fell down, get back up again. A brother or sister would be glad to give you an assistant arm to take you all the way to the finish line. Let's go. Let's run this race. Kind of think of it that way. Every day when you get up, all right, Lord, we're in a race. How far are we going today? All right. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there's some things in my life I know that aren't pleasing to You, and I can't run this race the way I should with those things on. Take them off. And I confess sin to You, things that I've been doing that aren't right, so that I can be free to run this race the best I know how and do it. Run, run. Oh, I remember the coaches, day in and day out as we prepared for the race, they had their stopwatch. Boy, I got to hate their stopwatch after a while. And they would do, all right, let's go, run one lap. You know, and you run as fast as you can that lap. Time you. Well, you're slower today, Gary. All right, do it again. Oh, boy, over and over again. That's what we need to keep on doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on keeping on for Him. For one day we're going to reach that finish line and we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, help us to run the race. Keep on going. Not stop. Don't quit. If we falter, get back up and keep running that race that is set before us, looking at the goal unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help these people to do just that. Run that race until we reach the goal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.